Hi, everybody. This is Dave Rabbit.
And I'm his co-host, Johnny Anonymous. And we do a show called The ATS Mix on AboveTopSecret.com. You know, after Dave and I get through doing one of our shows, we like going and listening to one of our sister shows on the Above Network, LLC.
And you know, Johnny, one of my favorites is over on BelowTopSecret.com. It's the new and hilarious BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock, his partner. When you're looking for lighter entertainment, these guys will rock your world with the best of sports, news, television, radio, and general discussion.
Oh, good.
They feature member posts, member on-air conversations, and celebrity interviews. This is a show that everyone is really going to enjoy.
And if by chance politics might be more your cup of tea, then AbovePolitics.com is going to be right up your alley. You know, the Above Politics show features Martin Bain and Justin Case, and they give you insightful and informative information that you're just not going to find anywhere else. They feature intelligent conversation on posts from our members, member interviews about their stance and platforms, as well as interviews with noted political figures and authors. You know, Dave, this really is your one-stop political shop.
And you're right about that, Johninator. So come join us all. Deny ignorance with Johnny and I on the ATS Mix Show.
Deny boredom with the BTS Mix Show with Spencer Tracy and Doc Hancock.
And deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with our friends Martin Bain and Justin Case.
And then you too can be a part of the revolution. Above Network LLC.
Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Martin Bain.
And I'm Justin Case.
And this week, as things have hotted up in the Democratic presidential race, it's going to be just me and Justin. But that's no bad thing.
Well, hey, it gives us a chance to try on the new helmets and body armor. Boy, I tell you, that contest between Senator Clinton and Senator Obama is heating up. I'm almost thinking about asking for hazard pay.
Well, I probably won't get away with that one because I'm far enough away from it that it just falls into the Atlantic Ocean, just like the boosters from the space shuttle do. So if I try that one, Justin, someone's just going to look at me and say, it ain't going to happen, Ed.
Well, you know, speaking of things that are not going to happen, I've been doing the math longhand, and I still don't see how Hillary's going to win by any legal means.
That's interesting. I mean, she has taken a bit of a bite out of Senator Barack Obama's lead. But I suppose the question is she now banking on the superdelegates? Is that the only way that Clinton can actually win?
Oh, good heavens. I think she's got several potential strategies in mind, and all of them are nasty, and ultimately I think they would do Darth Vader proud. Her first and foremost option is, as you say, to sway the superdelegates. If she can scare some of them into submission, or simply stay in the race long enough to create buyer's remorse or cause doubts among the superdelegates, she can exploit that by the time she goes to the convention. Or the other possibility is, in regards to going to the convention, if she stays in the fight all the way to the convention, she has enough delegates that she can force Obama to give her the vice presidency. Now, that makes the loose assumption that she's just that power hungry, but at this point in the race, she may be deciding that half a loaf is better than none.
What's the feeling? I mean, can she actually overtake Barack Obama with the context of that? Clearly, from a mathematical point of view, she can overtake him and win, but, you know, does she actually have the momentum, the groundswell? And I know there's been a lot of concerns about how, you know, does she have enough money left to do this one? I've got to think money does play an issue here, but I suspect, you know, with the pulling power of her husband, I've got to think money is probably not the biggest thing that she's worrying about. Someone may be thinking, oh, golly, we're getting close, you know, to maybe not being able to payroll some checks or something. But I somehow don't think that she's going to pull out of the race purely because she hasn't got any cash.
Well, she is very stubborn, and, you know, there is one other dark and insidious possibility. It's a possibility that I've had a chance to discuss with some of the conspiracy theorists on AboveTopSecret.com, and by and large, they agree with me that Hillary may decide that if she can't have the presidency, that Obama won't be allowed to have the presidency either. If she does enough damage to him during this electoral process, she could potentially pave the way for a McCain presidency. Now, she knows that he's going to be 72 years old when he is sworn into office. So, by virtue of his age, he is a one-term president. And if she were willing to mind her own business, relatively, for 4 years, she would probably feel like she was well-positioned to make a very strong run in 2012.
But then wouldn't the same case be said for Barack Obama, that if he doesn't get the candidacy or doesn't get the presidency this time round, that he would also be in a very strong case to do that in 2012? And if you think about it, if we look at the cycle of the U.S. electorate maturing in the fact that, you know, they are now considering that a white woman or a black man can be president, that in another 4 years' time, the electorate are going to be that much more mature, and there's going to be less of a backlash potentially against either a white woman or a black man. So either of these candidates, if they say were to go up against McCain and lose, still have a very good option to run in 4 years' time. And you actually think Barack Obama's got a better shot because he is younger than Hillary.
Well, actually, there's a little superstition in American politics that basically says that a candidate who has lost a presidential race is somehow tainted and therefore not worthy of trying again. Now, we have a couple of examples of this. Al Gore, when he lost in 2000, almost immediately, right off the bat, people said, well, I hope he doesn't try that again. Boy, if he ate it this bad, I don't want to see him do it again. And then if we go back to, I believe it was 1984, when President Reagan ran against then-Senator Mondale. When Mondale lost, they said the very same thing about him. And when he popped up again in 88, the prevailing opinion was, oh, Bob, please, no.
And I suppose you can see that as an argument, because if you've lost against a party, that party is going to be able to have a very strong message to turn around and say, hang on a minute, this guy came up once before. They're probably going to have a lot of research on him. They're going to have to spend less time finding all the dirt, because you're only going to have to say, well, we only have to find 4 years' dirt on him, whereas potentially with someone like Obama, you know, they're probably having to go back 20, 25 years. And I suspect with Hillary Clinton, the Republican Party has probably got a fairly large file on her because of her husband. So I think that's probably a fairly valid point there, Justin. Although it would be interesting one day to see a candidate who has lost in one term come back and say, no, actually, I can do it. And you think about the sort of the American dream of sort of, you know, if I'm kicked down, I get up and I continue. It is interesting that in politics, that option of, you know, I've been kicked, I've got up again, but no one wants to know me, sort of almost goes against the sort of thing of the American dream of, you know, making it. If you lose it, you can make it again.
Well, Americans are by their nature optimists, because we aren't saddled with a lot of things that would otherwise affect our thinking. So, yeah, you know, we like to try and get back on the horse that threw us. But when it comes to national-level politics in a 24/7 news world, if you've made a mistake, then every news organization on the planet has the video. And even if that mistake happened 4 years or 40 years ago, when you hit the trail again, no matter how brilliant you are, they're going to break out the wet noodles and they're going to flog you with them every step of the way.
You know, but you could turn around and say that's happening in anyone who's in the public spotlight, and they've got to work out that, you know, if they've done something silly in the past, they've got to know that they can either keep it a secret and they may be lucky and get away with it, or someone's going to find out about it. Someone's going to be offered enough money to say, oh, by the way, oh, look, do you want to have a look in Senator McCain's closet? Do you want to have a look in Hillary Clinton's closet? Or do you want to have a look in Senator Barack Obama's closet? At some stage, everyone knows that's going to happen, which is probably why these people have loads of apparati people around them who are then almost trying to find out, well, where are the secrets? Where are people digging? What can we do to put blocks in place? So I suppose a lot of the time, yeah, it's probably money more than anything else, isn't it? People are just spending a vast sum of money, A, to stop the other side from finding the dirt about them, and then the other side are spending a huge fortune trying to dig the dirt.
Well, of course, there are two schools of thought. You have the Elliot Spitzer school of thought, which says that you keep your mouth shut and you hope that nobody else finds out, or you have the David Patterson school of thought that says that on the day that you're elected, you just walk up to the podium and fess up to everything.
Now, wouldn't that be fun? You know, sometime January next year, whoever is the winner, you know, imagine standing up and turning around and saying, I've done X, Y, and Z, because I suppose unless Congress were to impeach them, there's not a lot that can actually be done to get rid of them if they've, I wonder what would happen if someone, after they'd sworn the oath of allegiance and had been sworn in as president, turned and said, oh, by the way, 25 years ago, I ran someone down in the middle of the desert and left them there to die, and I know the body's still there. What would happen?
Well, in the case of Ted Kennedy from Massachusetts, evidently nothing.
So it's probably a strategy, and I think what we should do is we should copyright this one and say if any of the presidents in the future try it, certainly in this campaign, we ought to be going up there and tapping them for some money. Couple of things. One, we should deserve the money, and two, it would say they listen to this show, which I think is more important.
I can appreciate that. You know, speaking of listening to the show, our listeners will have noticed by now that there's a big move in progress.
There certainly is, and most of the people will have noticed that Above Politics are slowly being moved over to sit on the AboveTopSecret.com site, and we now have our own forums on the Above Top Secret site, and they're called Above Politics Political Forums, and there's currently six of them. So there's Above Politics, there's Regional Politics, which I suspect is everything other than the US. Strange. The rest of the world is regarded as regional.
There are many other regions in the world, or at least that's what I'm told.
Yeah, but why not sort of put a US politics in regional and have the rest of the world? But hey, we can argue about that one, and I'm sure the members and the listeners to this show will, if they really want to get up on this one, they can post stuff in the show notes. We've also got breaking political news, we've got political ideologies, we've got political issues, and when we've got politicians and people. So we haven't lost anything. They've just been put into some different categories. Hopefully that's not going to take away from anyone wanting to post, wanting to keep up, and wanting to be part of, you know, the political side of AboveTopSecret.com.
Oh, I don't think it's going to put anybody off at all. If anything, I see this as an important step forward, because I personally have always been able to find connections between what happens in the news and conspiracy theory. Some of it's very entertaining, but some of it will also make you sit up and think.
And you're absolutely right there. That's a totally understandable and logical argument there. You know, so much of what we talk about, if you and I wanted to, we could start to spin it and start putting conspiracies against it. Occasionally, I know you and I do, we just pop off some idea, but you're absolutely right. Just because it's not about UFOs, it's not about aliens, it's not about 9/11, it's not about Katrina, but a lot of what we talk about, you just take one step to the left and you can look at it from a very different angle and say, bang, you know, you could have a conspiracy theory. And we've just touched on it already, Justin. Hang on a minute. Is Hillary Clinton going to think, well, if I can't have the presidency as a Democratic candidate, I'm going to make sure no one can? That's currently today a conspiracy. We've just launched a conspiracy theory here. Bang.
Ah, you got me.
Hey, flip out, that first time I've fired a gun and hit a target in many years. I think I'd better be very proud of that one. So yes, everything's moving, but none of the posts have been lost. None of the work you've done has been lost. It's just been moved to the AboveTopSecret.com site, which I think, as Justin has said, and I absolutely agree with him, I think it's a great idea. Hopefully it will drive more people to maybe think, hang on a minute, I want to actually look at this politics stuff. I think it's a great idea. And guess what? It's going to give us even more profile.
Oh, very seriously true, because you know at some point we're going to bump heads with some of those conspiracy theory people out there. And hey, as a news junkie, all I can say is bring it on.
Absolutely, because, you know, we know from surfing what was abovepolitics.com, there's some very sharp people there, and you and I have a look in abovetopsecret.com, and there are some very sharp and some very intelligent people that you and I have gone, well, I'm going to pop up and say, I've tried to go head to head with some of these people, and occasionally I do get a smack around the head, and I just think, yeah, this guy really knows a little bit more about this than me. I'm just going to say thank you very much and sheepishly walk away.
See, this is why I want the armor and the helmet.
Yeah, but I think sometimes a bit of pain, a bit of being smacked around the head just makes you a little bit more humble and intelligent, and sometimes makes you reread your post before you commit them. Because I've committed stuff and I look at it and I go, did I really say that? I must have been stupid.
Mm. Hey, speaking of saying things, have you seen anything interesting in the new garden of threads that we now have at our disposal?
Yes, and I'm going to go into regional politics. Yeah, I'm going to rub this in for a while with somebody.
Don't hurt yourself.
Hey, I've just got to rub it in for a while. I'm sure all the non-Americans, when they hear the show, will go, good on you, Martin. Stand up for it. Anyway, I did actually see one, and it's one that very UK orientated, and it's Conservative member defects to UKIP, and that's by member ST2652. This is basically, as you know, we have three major parties in the UK. We have the current administration government, which is the Labour Party. We have the opposition, which is the Conservative Party. And then we have another opposition party, or the second opposition party, which is the Liberal Party. But there are a lot of other parties in the UK. And one of them is the United Kingdom Independence Party. And they have probably a more right-wing leaning, and they're very anti-Europe. Their stance has been that the UK should get out of Europe, that it should have a different relationship with Europe. It should not be a integral member of the European Union, but should sort of sit outside the EU from a membership point of view, but sort of have trade relations and have diplomatic and then have cultural relationships with them that are sort of much more controlled. A party that was probably in essence just informed out of disparate and disillusioned right-wing conservatives who felt even the Conservative Party was too far to the left for them. And they've had a member of parliament from the Conservative Party who's basically up sticks and said, well, I'm not going to be in the Conservative Party. So he's resigned the whip, which is a word we use to describe someone who is allied to a party or is part of a party machine. And it's called the whip. And then we have people called whips who make sure that the MPs in their party vote in line, and you have chief whips. It's probably some kind of dark, sordid history to all of this one, but it's certainly interesting. And the guy is called Bob Spinks. So he's basically left the Conservative Party and said, I am now a member of UKIP, and now UKIP now have a member of parliament in the UK Parliament, which for them is a huge milestone. However, one of the things that popped up on the thread that Steve2652 started was whether Bob Spinks should actually resign as an MP and there should be a by-election, because in the UK people have this impression that you vote for the party. Well, fundamentally that's wrong, and a couple of guys in the thread basically turned around and absolutely shot people down. Stu Mason popped up on this one, even Steve popped up on this one again. In the UK, whilst you vote for somebody, you are actually voting for that individual person. Whilst that individual person may be allied to a party, you are not voting for the party. Whilst many people think they are, fundamentally, you are voting for the individual person, and that person has the absolute right to move from one party to another.
You know, that happens here in the United States, too. We have had politicians who, in the middle of their congressional term, have sworn off their Republican or Democratic allegiances and run up their independent flag. And I got to tell you, the last guy who did that, he finished his term and then he very quietly went away.
And you have to think that's what's going to happen with Bob Spinks. He's unlikely to get elected unless his constituents think he is an absolute superb MP. And occasionally it does happen that somebody who has resigned the whip from one of the major parties, maybe moved to one of the smaller parties or as an independent, occasionally they will be returned. Typically, they're returned for one more term only. We don't typically have a big tradition in, certainly within the House of Commons, of there being a huge groundswell of independent MPs. A minority interest party may get through. There was a guy called Martin Bell, who was a BBC correspondent for many years, who did stand in, I think, the seat in Tatton near Manchester, because the sitting Conservative MP was regarded as sort of tarnished with sleaze and had done some unfortunate things. And he did get elected on the ticket of, I want to kick this MP out and I'm against sleaze. But, you know, he wasn't a long-term member of parliament. So it's typically not in our history to have independence. And Bob Sphinks is unlikely to get re-elected. And it's probably going to go back to the Conservatives or the Liberal Party the next time round.
Well, you know, STE2652 is a pretty smart guy, even with all those numbers after his moniker there. You know, actually, he's the guy who won last week's trivia challenge.
So he did. So that's a good one, because it has been sort of either TuneIn Spork or Expert 11. So I don't want to run those two guys down, because they listen to the show and they post some interesting stuff. But it is nice that we share the points around.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's very appropriate that somebody who came up with a political thread about political independence snatched away the victory for the trivia challenge. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I asked a very current events-related question. Last week, Prime Minister Gordon Brown was in town to see President Bush, and while they were out in the Rose Garden, President Bush, in front of the media, made the Prime Minister a rather unorthodox promise. He said, "We'll cook a meal for you." And you should have seen the look on Gordon Brown's face. He must have had nightmares of Bush wearing the apron, barbecuing the hot dogs, saying, "Do you want sauerkraut on that?"
Or even worse, could you imagine it? Because Gordon Brown is from Scotland, you know, George Bush and Barbara maybe trying to cook haggis and tatties and neat, which is potatoes and parsnips. Can you imagine that? You know, trying to make him and his wife feel at home, you know, and trying to cook some Scottish dish here. You can see why he's a little nervous, and you have to think, hang on a minute, George, if how you cook is how you run the country, I know, let's order some pizza in. I'll pay for pizza to be delivered to the ranch.
Now, speaking of delivering things, I've got to ask you one question as a person from the... Okay, now, the Pope is well known as the emissary of peace. He's the spokesperson worldwide for nonviolence. Okay, I've got that right, don't I?
I'm not entirely sure I'd go along with that one. I mean, we're going to open a big can of worms here, and I'm sure there's going to be some people who are going to be upset about this one. I'm not entirely sure that you can say the head of the Roman Catholic Church is a global ambassador for peace when you think of some of the things that the Roman Catholic Church is alleged and also has been convicted of doing, particularly around its priests abusing young children.
I get the idea, but I'm just saying that in general terms, the Pope is known for, you know, make love, not war.
Again, I still wouldn't. I mean, this current Pope, Pope Benedict, I've got to turn around and say what little I know of him and some of the work he did, because he was sort of was he the right-hand man, but he was sort of regarded as the enforcer of religious philosophy and policy for the previous pope. He was certainly had some interesting views on, you know, what the Bible actually meant. So, yes, I suppose, you know, in a general view, you would say because he's a church leader of a major global religion, yes, he is, you know, sometimes seen as an emissary for peace, but I gotta say, I'm not sure his credentials in that department would stand up to scrutiny that much.
So then, would you say it was very appropriate that when he came to visit President Bush at the White House, that they gave him a 21-gun salute?
That's an interesting thing, isn't it? You give a man, a guy who's potentially, you know, an emissary for peace, you give him a 21-gun salute. That's an interesting contradiction, isn't it, really? But I think today, you know, that is probably accorded to very senior leaders. I mean, I suspect, and I'm pretty, and I know that Gordon Brown didn't get a 21-gun salute when he arrived. So I suppose you've got to turn that around a little bit, Justin, and say it's probably a mark of respect that the president and the U.S. administration have for the leader of the Roman Catholic Church. And you have to think, you know, it's, you know, it's up there within the top two or three religions on two or three religions in the world. But it's an interesting thing to do, actually.
Hey, I don't mean to make you squirm, but I'm going to enjoy it while it's happening. So which do you think it was? Was the 21-gun salute meant for the whole senior leadership thing, or was there some other subtext to it?
Oh, golly, I've no idea. I mean, I suppose it would depend if they were sort of chucking, you know, if Bush had ordered all the showers to be filled with, you know, confidential secrets and they were blowing them out as they go. I suspect it was a mark of respect to Pope Benedict. I can't actually think of anything else to it. It's not accorded to every leader, but I think in some respects he probably deserves it. You know, he is head of the Roman Catholic Church. He is incredibly influential throughout the world, and if the Pope speaks, you know, billions of people across the world listen to the guy.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but actually, I did, and I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm going to admit it right here in front of everybody.
Well, don't do that. So I'm going to throw it back and say, while I've been browsing through the threads, is there one that's caught your eye?
At this point, I'm still just taking it all in. I feel like they've rearranged the furniture on us. You know what I think we need to do? I think we need to actually take our very first commercial break. Is your political baggage worn out or in need of repair? Is it out of style? If you're a veteran politician or new to the game, you need to check out the latest offering from Case Pro Industries. We're proud to present our newest product line, Political Baggage. These travel accessories are ideal for the elected official or practicing attorney on the go. All of our items are available in DNA-resistant black or gray. Our operators are standing by. Call now and we'll set you up with a leak-proof body bag with easy grip handles, ideal for moving or storing those skeletons that may be in your closet. Our versatile suitcases contain many watertight compartments, ideal for concealing, storing, or otherwise caring for your undocumented cash. We offer two-faced makeup cases, ideal for those spur-of-the-moment press conferences, or those late-night outings with your favorite paid escort. Don't accept cheaper substitutes. Ask for Political Baggage today.
I have a lot of baggage, and everybody has rummaged through it for years.
And we're back on the Above Politics show. Say, Martin, did you get a chance to see the news before you came in?
You're going to have to help me out here. There is a lot of news in this world, and I was seeing some of the news, but I was watching stuff that was related to where I live, so I didn't. You need to help me out a little bit here.
Okay, well, actually, you know, I was in the ATS newsroom where they have the 45 big-screen plasma TVs, and John McCain was just in New Orleans, the site of the infamous Katrina problems, and, boy, he certainly was laying it down. He was criticizing the Bush administration very hot and heavy, and the reason that I bring this up is that I noticed that in the Above Politics forum that there's quite a bit of talk about whether or not McCain is worthy of being able to succeed Bush, even though a lot of people are saying, hey, the only reason he's getting a free ride right now is because Barack and Hillary are just tearing at each other. But I can't help but wonder if now that this guy's taking this new tact, if he's really willing to distance himself from President Bush, is he actually going to be able to make a serious run here in November?
Well, that's a very interesting point, and I just wanted to address part of what you've said. And one of the things that I see is, I actually think, and I've said this on a couple of shows, and I think you and I probably disagree a little bit on this one, Justin. I don't actually see that McCain is totally out of the betting and the race to win the presidency. I think he's going to try and do everything to divorce himself, to distance himself from Bush, because it's interesting. They had that statement. They were together. And, you know, there were some nice platitudes said between them. And, you know, Senator McCain said, well, hopefully, you know, if we can fit it into your schedule, Mr. President, I'd be only too willing for you to come and, you know, stand beside me and help me win the presidency. Have you seen George Bush anywhere near Senator McCain?
No, actually, but he has certainly has been chummy with Gordon Brown. So that's got to tell you something.
Yeah, but you have to be thinking that McCain and his advisors are thinking, oh, thanks, George. You know, I think George had to say that. I think it was his obligation. He had no choice to do it. But I suspect that the hierarchy in the Republican Party was saying, OK, George, you've done your bit. Now, don't do anything stupid for the next 6 months. Make it nice and easy. Don't do anything too controversial. I can see why McCain would want to distance himself from them. Is he worthy of the job? Well, you have to say from a Republican point of view, yes, he should be, because you know, he's beaten all other candidates. And it's not, you know, like he's beaten them by a bit. You know, he's just blown the rest of the competition for the GOP. He's blown them apart.
No, absolutely. I see your point, too. And ATS member Easy Now has a thread going in the Above Politics forum in which he argues that a President McCain is quote-unquote inevitable.
I wouldn't go so far as to say inevitable here. I think that a lot of people maybe a year ago would have said there's no chance that a Republican is going to win the presidency. I actually think with the battle that's going on between Clinton and Barack Obama, that is probably helping the Republican cause more than anything else. Because those two, as you've quite rightly said, they're going at it. They are slugging the living daylights out of each other. They are trying to score points. They may not be doing this openly, but they are both digging dirt and probably leaking dirt on the other, which is making the job of the Republican Party's, you know, muckraking machine must be smiling, because they're thinking, well, hang on a minute, someone's doing the job for us here. So that is probably the big thing that is going to make a lot of difference. And I wonder how many Americans, if they've maybe not decided whether they're going to vote for a Democrat or a Republican, are turning around and saying, well, just look at these guys, because theoretically, when's the Democratic Party convention? It's August sometime, isn't it?
Yes.
So hang on a minute. You've got another, let's go, so May, June, July. You've got another 3 months of this, theoretically, or at least 60 days of this, where, you know, Clinton and Barack Obama are just going to be coshing the living daylights out of each other. For what? For, you know, two or three more delegates here. That, I think, is pushing Senator McCain, making it easier for him, because the Republican Party can now turn around, Justin, and say, well, okay, there are divisions in the Republican Party. Let's not get away from that one. But at least those guys have the opportunity to try and paper them up. And every day that they can put another sheet of paper over, a crack is better. Because you trying to think, let's say in August, doesn't matter who wins, whether it's Senator Clinton or Senator Obama. Are they going to be able to paper over the divisions in the Democratic Party that quickly? I actually don't think they can.
Well, I think the economy, as it continues to fail, will help them a great deal in that respect.
It could do, but it depends, and I'm inclined to agree with you here that a lot of people, you know, when they're being polled now, will probably be speaking what they feel is, you know, politically correct to say. But you're right, when people actually sit in that polling booth and decide it, a lot of it will turn round to what's going to be the cost. And you know, I know you've been, you know, I've seen some threads, and I know you've mentioned it, you know, that potentially, you know, gasoline, as you call it, we call it petrol over here, may go to sort of maybe $7, $8, $9 a gallon.
Oh, don't scare me like that.
Hey, you know, hey, I'm used to paying over $2 a liter. Is it $2? £1 buys $2. Yes, I pay $2 a litre. I pay over £1 sterling a litre. That's $2 a litre.
How many litres are in a gallon, for those of us who don't know?
Now you're going to ask me, because you have imperial gallons and you have US gallons. And I cannot remember. I think for an imperial gallon, it's about 4 point something. And I know that somebody is going to be listening to this show and pop it up on the show thread. But it's about 4.5 litres to a gallon, I believe. But then a US gallon is different to what we call as an imperial gallon. But you're still probably looking not far off from UK money, $8, $9, $10 a gallon.
Ow. Hey, speaking of real money, why don't you give us your trivia challenge question for the week so that we can hand out some more of these applause points?
Okay. Now I've been digging around. So here is my question. If someone is applying for the Chiltern 100s, what are they doing? So applying for the Chiltern 100s, what are they doing? And you know where to go to post the answer. This show thread will be, golly, it'll be put up on the top. I'm not sure which forum this will actually go into now, Justin.
You know, I haven't seen a memo on that, but I trust them, so I'm gonna go wherever they point us. But you know, this is show number 13, and I just want to say to the listeners real quick that you know, we couldn't get anybody to commit to show number 13. It's that whole numerical superstition thing.
Whereas I've played football and I wore number 13, and I actually wanted number 13 just purely to say to people, there's nothing wrong with 13. I'm happy to wear it. So there you are. And I just clicked on, if you go to abovetopsecret.com, you click board, the show will appear in the ATS Mix bar at the top. They've got ATS Mix Show 76 up there. They've got 12 up there. That's okay, because we're recording the show. And then they've got the BTS Mix 06 up there. So it will appear somewhere. And we welcome your comments. And we always review and look at the UTUs. We answer them whenever we can. Keep them coming. It makes this job much more interesting when we get dialogue and feedback from everybody. Good, bad, or indifferent, we want to hear it.
Hey, as we say in the United States, there's no such thing as bad press. As long as they're talking about you, they're still talking about you.
And yeah, just sort of flinging it back a little bit, because I want to put you a little bit on the spot here. And we're back to the presidential elections. It's just a quick one. Who do you think are going to be the vice presidential candidates? And don't throw that back to me, because you know more about this subject. But I'm just interested in who McCain might go for, because I'm just curious as to why he hasn't already announced his VP and, you know, and then started to sort of build the bridges in the Republican Party.
Well, McCain hasn't announced his vice president yet, because right now he's faced with two choices. He can give the members of his party the carrot, where he can give them the stick. And I think what he would rather do at this point is entice them with a very large carrot, because his running mate might be that guy over there. It could be somebody else. It could be you. There's no way to know at this point.
But so what's the best thing, though?
He's making the suspense work for him. Now, if I had to get on a jet and go to Vegas, my money is on Mike Huckabee, because the one greatest disaffected group in the Republican Party is the religious right. And the religious right would be much happier with Mike Huckabee, and they would be much more unhappy with the likes of Mitt Romney.
And you don't think Ron Paul stands a chance?
Oh, I mean, if he wants to be the Secretary of the U.S. Postal Service or something, then sure.
Oh, golly, I can see you getting some – I can see some people jumping down your neck on that comment, because there are a lot of members on the forums that seem to be very pro-Ron Paul. That's a dangerous lobby within Above Top Secret to get on the wrong side of.
Well, if I disappear, then you'll know why.
Golly. Oh, look at the conspiracy theories. We could start with that.
Hey, as I said before, the link between conspiracy theory and the news is very short. Absolutely.
It is very short. So let's put this one. Do you think that the dream ticket for the Democratic Party is going to happen?
I don't know yet. Ask me after Indiana, because it looks like Hillary can win Indiana. Barack Obama is likely going to win North Carolina, and I will say now that if she does not win Indiana, that her chances of being vice president go down sharply.
So you could see, from what the Democrats are saying, and I love the term the dream ticket, because I just love to be in the room when those two get together, you know, after, you know, punching the living daylights out of each other for the past year and a bit, and trying to sit down and say, well, we have to make this work, you know, let's kissy kissy and make up here. That's going to be a fun thing. But do you actually see that as a serious option?
If they want the job, yes. And because no matter how much they hate each other, if they actually manage to pull it off, it will heal many of the wounds they've sustained over the last 12 months. And if they don't do this, if Obama picks somebody like Bill Richardson, it's like throwing a gallon or liter of petrol onto the fire and standing a little too close when you do it.
But there's no sort of like maybe Senator John Edwards, there's no chance that he might come in as sort of, you know, an option that either of them could actually go to and say, well, I'm going to put him as my running mate, you know, because, you know, he came third in the competition. Yeah, that's probably a politically safe thing to do.
It might be politically safe, but neither of these two are thinking straight right now. So the safe is the last thing they want, because they're in the arena, they are in gladiator mode, and they smell blood.
That's what you really want, because yeah, that's one of the things I have to say. You know, I know this campaign has dragged on, and I'm sure a lot of people are getting a little punch drunk, but it is exciting. You know, it is, as you said, very gladiatorial. You know, you've got two fairly serious, heavyweight Democratic candidates trading blows. It's exposed to the media 24/7. Yeah, and yeah, I'm sure there are some people who want nothing to do with it, but it is very interesting to watch these two people vying for what is still seen as the top job on the planet, fighting, slugging it out so that they can get to the race and stand next to Senator McCain and say, right, I'm going to race you for the top job. That is really exciting, and it is. Doesn't matter what people say, it is enjoyable to watch these people slugging the daylights out of each other.
Hey, the last time I got thrashed this badly, somebody took my milk money.
Oh, that can't have been more than a few years ago, my friend.
It was a while back. Now, something that is in our future is show number 14. Next week, we'll be interviewing talk show host Fern Crosley. She works out of Macomb, Mississippi on WAKK 1140 on the AM dial. She's well-versed in Southern politics, and she has a lot to say about this presidential race.
Golly, so this is going to be our first non-ATS interview.
And it's certainly not going to be our last, because as we continue to grow the show in terms of popularity, as our subscriber base grows, it'll be a whole lot easier for us to reach out and touch the famous and the infamous and say, hey, we are the Above Politics show. We reach millions. And gosh, wouldn't you like to come and talk to us?
Yep, and I'm not going to reveal names, but we are working on a couple of people in the UK as well to come on the show. And this is a request for the rest of the membership. Help us out here. If you've got political contacts somewhere that you might be able to utilize to help us get them on the show, hey, you to you, Justin and I, we need all, you know, we need the help, because we can only get to a certain number of people. So if there's anybody out there who's listening to this show, you never know. They might know the son of a minister. Their mother might know them. Hey, if we can use anything to get people on the show, drop us a you to you. We'll make sure you get credit. We'll make sure you get the kudos for lining the interview up for us.
As long as it's mostly legal, we'll certainly be happy to act on it.
Absolutely. I just want to say, don't forget to check out our sister shows. There's the BTS Mix with Spencer and Doc, and then, of course, the ATS Mix show with Johnny and Dave. So until next time, I'm Martin Bain.
I'm Justin Case, and we'll see you on the next lovely edition of the Above Politics show.
Hello, everyone. I'm Spencer Tracy. Along with Doc Hancock, I host the new BTS Mix show.
We have a lot of fun, and when we're done with our shows, we like to head over and listen to our sister shows, the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case on the Above Network LLC. The ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous is the source for the latest information on breaking stories, conspiracy theories, and some stuff that's just plain weird. Johnny and Dave have insightful discussions about member posts, member interviews, and exclusive interviews with experts in their field. When I need the latest news and insight from the political arena, I log on to the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Martin and Justin really break it down for me. They discuss member posts, interview members about their stance on the issues, and they have access to today's noted political figures and authors. So come on over and deny boredom with me, Spencer Tracy, and my co-host, the marvelous Doc Hancock, on the BTS Mix Show. Deny ignorance with the ATS Mix Show with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous, and deny apathy with the Above Politics Show with Martin Bain and Justin Case. Be part of the revolution. The Above Network LLC.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at abovepolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.